Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to thank you for joining me in this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. Today, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God entitled Living Free from Sexual Addictions. I hope that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged to break free and live free in Jesus' name.
This is the third message of our Breaking Free series, and this is what Jesus said in John 8:36. And boy, I pray that you wake up at night hearing this verse in your heart. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. It's a promise from His Word. Get a hold of that, all right? It's a promise. He's just not throwing out these words for you know, whatever reason. I mean, He's making a promise to us. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus sets us free from the penalty of our sins, but He also sets us free from the power of sin, amen? But I'm grateful that I've been set free from the penalty of my sins, but what I'm after, I pray that you're after, is the freedom from sin. So we have this is our spiritual reality, though. Jesus makes this promise to us, but we have a real spiritual enemy, correct? And he stands in opposition to us experiencing freedom and living an abundant life. And Jesus talks about his determination in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan's not for us, amen? He is totally against us. So, but look, that's what Satan comes to do. When it comes to these promises, when it comes to freedom, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But here's what Jesus says to counter that. This is what he brings to the plate. I've come that they may have life, that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Sign me up for that, amen? Sign me up for that. So Satan will do this. He'll use strongholds in order to hinder us from experiencing the promises that God makes in his word, freedom and an abundant life. Satan stands in opposition to that. What he'll do is he'll try to develop a stronghold. And this has been the key verse kind of throughout the series, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe this will help you better understand if you haven't been here over the past couple weeks. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world." All right, so the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, here it is, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. So what is a stronghold? Well, if you look up that word, and actually it's in the Greek, it's stronghold. Anyways, a stronghold is a fortress used metaphorically of those things in which mere human confidence is imposed. So here's a better way to say it. A stronghold can be a deception we believe. A stronghold can simply be a deception that we believe. It's that thing that keeps you coming to the throne of grace. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that thing that keeps you coming before God saying, "God, why am I dealing with this? Why do I have this problem? Why am I not set free?" So that's a stronghold, all right? So God does not leave us defenseless, amen? Instead, he gives us weaponry with divine power, and it can demolish these strongholds. Look at this. He talks about this in verse 5. We demolish strongholds. That's you and I, man. He gives us weapons. We demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. A stronghold can be a narrative that the enemy sows into our lives. It opposes God's truth. It's a pretension. It's something that's pretended to be true. And so what it does is it takes us captive. We begin to believe a lie. And we can demolish these strongholds by taking those thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ and his word. So today I want to talk to you about something that most churches won't talk about. It's the proverbial 500-pound gorilla in the room, and it deals with sexual strongholds. If you want to exit now, this is your time, all right? So we can live free from sexual strongholds, amen? This is one of those messages you're not going to know where to say amen. You're going to be like, "Hey, I don't know if I should say amen there," you know? It's just awkward, right? We're talking about sex in church. Hey, all right, maybe I shouldn't say that, you know? So let me start out by saying this. Mankind is fallen. Every one of us, equally, we're fallen. And just because a person may be dealing with a sexual stronghold doesn't mean they are any worse than any other person, amen? So listen, before God, if you're dealing with something sexually and you're a person that deals with gossip, you are equal before God. You are equally fallen, amen? So let's kind of get real this morning, remove any stigma surrounding sexual freedom, and let's find that freedom in Jesus' name, amen? This is how we communicate sex in the church. Are you ready? Sex is nasty, it's dirty and ugly, and you should save it for the one you love. There's a conflict there, isn't there? Yeah, it's nasty, it's dirty, it's ugly. It's for you and your spouse. You know, it's just, that's messed up. That's conflict. That's not what God's word says. All right, this might be a verse that makes you uncomfortable. It's not from Songs of Solomon, all right? But it is from Proverbs, all right? So Proverbs 5:19, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. You know what that word enraptured means in the Hebrew? It's bow chicka wow wow. I'm just messing with you, all right? But seriously, I mean, that's what it's enraptured. You should be intoxicated with your spouse's love. Enraptured with their love. The Bible is not silent on this matter. In fact, it says a lot. And why are we so silent in it? Because it's awkward, right? It's uncomfortable. Because we usually don't talk about these things in church. But this is exactly the place where we should be talking about these things. Amen? All right. So we got to stop listening to lies. And boy, this is an area where we have a lot of lies. Amen? I mean, our world is messed up in this area. So when we start believing lies, then that's where a stronghold can take root. And here's one way. This is just one verse that we can look at. Romans chapter 1, 21 through 25. And it's going to be a little bit different, but check this out. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. So look, they knew God, people who knows God, but they wouldn't worship him as God. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God is like. See, Christianity, church, is not about knowing about Jesus. That's religion, correct? Christianity is all about knowing him. Not knowing facts about him. Not knowing spiritual truths. It's about knowing him personally, intimately. And that's what Christianity is all about. Religion will not get you close to Jesus. Only a relationship with him. Something that you can share with him. So has your relationship with God, has your relationship with Jesus become more about this? And boy, if this is you, just listen closely to what I'm saying. Has your relationship with God come to a place where it's kind of stalled and now it's more reflecting? It's more about looking back what God did in your life, how you experienced him, what you learned about him. Can I tell you that's a very dangerous place to be for us as believers? Because if our relationship with God has stalled, because that's what it's done, and we're looking back to what has happened in our lives, we got problems. And what happens is when you stall out, then you become very susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. And he'll whisper all kinds of lies. Boy, I've seen this before. You'll stall out spiritually and you start to blame everyone else. It's the pastor's fault. It's the church's fault. It's the worship leader's fault. It's that one person at church that keeps you from... No, 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 no. Let's just erase the lies. What happens is we stall and we get religious. And it can happen to every one of us. I've had it happen to me. So if we know God, we will worship him. And when we talk about worship, we're not talking about what we're doing here today. I mean, this is an expression of worship, correct? But this is not our worship. Coming to church, singing songs, lifting hands, all that, it's all good. But worship is truly this. It's our posture before God. It's our overall posture before God. It's how we live our lives accordingly. So unfortunately, many people have this. This is the prevailing thought in a lot of Christianity. Then this is how we worship God. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to surrender my life either. I want to be saved, but I really don't want to give him everything, because that's what true worship is. True worship is what we do is we're giving ourselves to God. All right? So this is our prevailing attitude. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to surrender my life. I still want to live. And people here in this church, we may not say those in words, but we show it by our actions. None of us would ever say, well, not my, you know, where is this in our thinking? Where is this in our heart? Not my will, but yours be done. See, that has to be at the core of our being. See, the Bible says people will know about God, but won't worship him as God, all right? And as a result, they will redefine the unchanging nature of God. What we do is this. When we stall out in our relationship with God and we start to know about him, we start to put God in these little boxes that we build, and he has to fit into them. This is what we'll do. We'll often look at the Word of God to justify our behavior. All right, the Word of God no longer is alive, comes alive off that page and challenges us. We then sometimes go to a place where we justify our behavior. See, that's where we're not worshiping God there. We just have religion then. And listen, religion won't change a thing, amen? See, when people don't surrender themselves to God, they slowly make God fit into their own personal narrative. And that's the perfect storm for a stronghold. And I can say that without a doubt because I've been there. And I've experienced this myself. So here's the outcome of believing some of our misconceptions about God. Look at the results of this. It goes on in the next few verses. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise, and instead they became utter fools. So this is what happens when we exchange. When we stand before God, we don't really worship him as God. This is the outcome of this. So when we believe lies about God and his word, we become foolish. We start to act like fools. Anybody ever act foolish before? All right, I'll raise two, okay? And what happens is we become foolish, and then we use words like this. Are you ready? Sexual orientation. Sexual identity. Listen, let's just make this real simple. The human reproductive system is evidence, it's proof of God's will. See, God didn't give me the plumbing to have babies. All right, so, but this is the lie. This is the narrative we believe. When we don't believe God's word, when we don't worship him as God, we start to believe things that are not true. And we start to believe things like this. Pastor, God made me this way. No, he didn't. Check yourself physically. What parts were you born with? That is evidence, it's proof that God made you male or female. Now listen, I'm saying this and I'm not trying to bash anyone. Please hear my heart. Because I believe that when we do that, we come counter to God's word then. Because it should break our hearts when someone is deceived. In any area of human sexuality, you may not like it, and it may make you feel a certain way, but your heart should break for someone who is trapped, amen? And I don't care what sexual sin they deal with, what kind of lust they're dealing with, our hearts should break for them. So when we believe a narrative that conflicts with the Word of God, it creates confusion. And that's why people are so confused about their sexuality. Look at this. Let's go on down through the next couple verses. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things that was in their heart's desire. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. But here it is. Look. And they traded the truth about God for a lie. See, this is what's going on in our world. Part of the problem is because we don't talk about this. We allow the world to sew together a narrative that is not true, and then we won't combat it with God's word. And so our people go around, well, maybe I should be this or that towards this identification, this or that. But God's word is very clear. Amen? So part of this is our problem, and this is a problem that we've created. But when people get to a place where they don't worship God as God, they're truly not putting that into practice, they begin to allow these narratives to kind of shape their view of God, this is what happens. We trade the truth about God for a lie. And human sexuality is one of these areas. And this is exactly what's going on in our world. We're exchanging a truth for a lie. A stronghold is a deception we believe. And in order to demolish these strongholds, what we have to do is we kind of have to dispense truth. And we have to know truth. So what are some sex lies we are believing? And number one, I'm going to give you one, is this. Sex is an animalistic action. Now, some of you may think, well, no brainer, duh. But you would be shocked to how many Christians believe this. The world tells us that we are defined by what we feel. You're not defined by what you feel. You are defined by who you are in Christ, period. So the world defines sex as something that's animalistic. Here's my example, the birds and the bees. Birds do it, bees do it, we do it. No, no, no. Listen, that's a lie. That is a lie. I'll break it down this way. If you're a hunter, you know that white-tailed deer are very intelligent. I mean, they are smart. But what happens is those very intelligent deer, they get really stupid. Because when the dough's going heat, it's all different, isn't it? And love is literally in the air. The scent of love is in the air, and this is what happens. That's a very smart animal. I've seen this happen before, right? I heard a buck grunting, and he comes running out of the woods. His tongue is hanging out of his mouth, and his head is on the ground, and he's tracking that doe. He's got one thing on his mind, but you know what happens when he does that? Boom, in the freezer. So you live according to your feelings, you're going in the freezer. You're going to end up on somebody's wall as a trophy. Number two, sex is a recreational activity. Sex with anyone, anywhere, any way you want is no big deal. It is a big deal. And do you know the statistics? There's tons of statistics out there that tell us that people who engage in sexual activity outside of what's defined in God's word, they experience higher levels of anxiety and unhappiness. Looking for love in all the wrong places. See, there's no such thing as recreational sexual activity. In fact, the behavior will go counter to whatever you're trying to fill that void with. You have a void, you're trying to fill it, and you'll try to do it with sexual things, and it will just hollow your soul. It will hollow out your soul. Number three, sex is an isolated event. All right, example, it's one time. It's not a big deal. It was spring break. It is a big deal, amen? Or I'll give you another way. I can click on or click off anytime I want. I can turn it off. No, you can't. No, you can't. Here's why. A part of what you saw will always stick with you. Are you following me? It's not an isolated event. The world, we have a way of justifying this behavior. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. It comes to the counseling room. It always comes back. It will come back. It's not an isolated event. Whatever happens in Vegas ends up in counseling, and it will hollow out your soul. Number four, sex is just physical. Listen, sex is more than something physical. See, we are more spiritual than we are physical. This is what we got to remember. We're more spiritual than we are physical. See, we are not physical beings having rare or infrequent spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings on a temporary earth experience. That's the truth. That's why we live according to the Spirit. That's why we're commanded. We're commended. That's why the Holy Spirit lives. We're supposed to live according to the Spirit, not according to our bodies, not according to our flesh, because that ends up in death. Does sex have a purpose beyond procreation? You better believe it, buddy. Of course it does. It's supposed to create intimacy. See, when sex is just physical, it undermines the purpose. And this is why pornography is so destructive, because people are looking for an experience to bring them some type of intimacy. But this is what happens when you're dealing with pornography, for example. You remove the other person. So you can't have the desired intimacy that you really want. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? And Paul says, never. And listen, God doesn't live in buildings. He doesn't live in buildings. He lives in this building, this human building. The Spirit of God lives in us. And listen, some of us, we're more concerned about what we do in this building than what we do in this building. See, we should be more concerned about what we do in this building, right? There are things we do in this building that we'd never do in this building. See, Paul says he would never take a Christian and unite them with a prostitute. And that word unite is, it basically means to fuse, to glue. Right? It means to fuse and to glue. And when you have sex, that's exactly what you do. You are fusing yourself with someone. All right, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. You fuse. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. All right, Paul uses a prostitute as an example because of the prostitution that was practiced in Corinth. And Corinth had a way of worshiping the goddess Diana, and that was a part of temple worship was temple prostitution. So what you would do, you would go to make your donation at the temple, and then you would have sex with a priest or priestess who would act as a medium to bring you closer to that deity. Here's my point. They knew that it was more than something physical. It was a perversion of the truth. All right, you follow me? But they knew there was something more than something physical. So that's why Paul is using this as an example. So what does Paul say about sexual behavior outside of marriage? Look at this. Look on verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. So what's he saying? Run. Run. If you've got the urge, run. Okay? Seriously, go for a walk. Take a cold shower. I mean, whatever you got to do. When you're tempted sexually, then run. Go for a run, seriously. So when you look at that word sexual morality in the Greek, it's one word, two words we translate it as, but it defines all sexual activity outside of marriage. Put it this way. It's all sexual activity outside of marriage of one natural man, one natural woman. Sex with anyone other than your spouse is sexual immorality. Sin is sin, but listen, some sin has greater impact. All sin is sin, but some sin has a greater impact. Listen, if you lie to someone about how much money you make, or you lie to someone about the accomplishments you've made in life, how many of you know that has a different impact than if you commit adultery? It's all equal before God, but it has a different impact. So when we sin sexually, it's a sin against God's temple, because this is where God lives. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have you received from God? You are not your own. Verse 20, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Church, remember, Jesus gave his life for us, shed his blood for us, and he purchased us from our sins, from the penalty of our sins, and he wants us to live free. But we have to come to this place of knowing and recognizing we don't own ourselves. Jesus owns us. See, that's the part that keeps us from worshiping God, to really worship him as we truly should. See, we think that it's coming to God, it's all up here. It's not. It's all right here. And when you surrender yourself to him, you've truly given yourself over to him, that's when you worship God. The body, our life, what we do, what we think, it all belongs to him. So let's honor God in his temple, amen? Quickly, I want to share with you four ways we can honor God with our bodies. And in this area of sexuality. Number one is this, make a commitment to go God's way. Make a commitment to go God's way. Make a commitment to God's way. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, what you've been involved in, listen, if you are making a commitment to God, his arms are always wide open. There is nothing you're going to do that will close his arms towards you. Nothing. Well, I don't believe in God. He's still going to have his arms open to you. Well, I'm going to reject him. Those arms will stay open as long as you have life. See, his arms, I don't care what you've done. His arms are always open to you. And listen, I'm going to tell you this, just me personally, as a pastor, you're never going to tell me anything that is going to shock me. And you're probably not going to tell me something that I haven't already struggled with myself. From me, you're always going to have open arms. And we as a church better have those same open arms, amen? Because if we're going to create an environment where people can reel with God and throw away the religious garbage and serve him, then we better have open arms. Listen, I don't care if the person has come out and they're a known prostitute. I don't care if they're a known homosexual. If they come and they want to give their lives right to God, then our arms should be open, amen? And we should love them as the Father would love them. No one's going to judge you. And I know this, that in the Father's arms there is no judgment. Are wide open to you. Look, Isaiah 1:18, commit, church. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God wants us clean. He wants us free. But we have to settle that matter with a commitment. See, some of us have done things in our past, and you may not be doing them now, but I'm going to tell you this, you're just as trapped as you were then. See, the shame of some of the things we've done is very difficult for us to get away from. Can I tell you this? There is freedom in Jesus, amen? There is freedom. And settle the matter today. Settle the matter in your heart. Does God want you free? Absolutely. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. Are you settling it? Are you going to lay it before him? Lay it before his throne. It's the matter settled. The arms of God are wide open to you. And if God accepts you, then who cares what anyone else thinks, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you're making that commitment, he'll receive you. Listen, it may take time, but if that's your commitment, he will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It's a promise from his word. Make a commitment to him. Make a commitment to come out from sin. Make a commitment to come out from shame. Make a commitment to experiencing freedom, amen, and life abundantly. Number two, manage your mind. Manage your mind. We have to learn to manage our minds. Do you know that the porn industry makes more money? This is crazy. Think about this. Makes more money than Major League Baseball, NFL football, National League hockey, and NBA basketball combined. That's how much money that industry makes. And that's why the internet is saturated with it. Today, the average child has their first encounter with pornography at the age of 10. And you know what? What do we owe this wonderful accolade to? Smartphone. It's one of the reasons. I'm going to say something. I'm not judging you, but I'm just going to be real with you. I don't care how you try to protect your kids, but there is no reason why your child under 12 should have a smartphone. None. Well, I have parental controls. They can get around it. Yes, they can. Well, Pastor, they need a phone. Go to Walmart and get them a flip phone. They work just fine. Well, they're not cool. Well, who cares if they're cool? Put this in perspective, church. Kids are smarter than you. They will find a way around your parental controls. There's stuff they can look up on the internet. If you haven't gone there yourself, then you're a fool. You got to outfox the fox. And when you outfox them, they can outfox you still. Because they know someone else who's gotten around the controls too. Whatever media you bring into your home, I'm not getting on a soapbox, just hang with me. Because if we really want freedom, then we've got to manage our minds. Whatever media you bring into your home, you got to monitor it or you're careless. You're just being careless. Let me ask you this. Do you know this, that pornography is as addictive? It's proven. It's chemically as addictive as crack cocaine. Now, would you go and give a rock of cocaine to your child and say, be careful with that? Do you see how crazy that is? Why on earth would you give your child a device that could bring bondage into their lives, that could destroy them and ruin their future relationships? See, what you give them is something that may ruin not only their lives, but their marriage. They're 12 years old. Well, 10 years from now, they're going to be married. You're going to ruin that marriage because they have all these thoughts and images and ideas of what sex should be when it's not that. Listen, I don't know about you, I'm tired about hearing children abducted or abused because a parent wasn't diligent about monitoring their child, who they was contacting, maybe a person posing as a child that's an adult, all that through a gaming app. Through a gaming app. It happens all the time. That's where most of it comes from. It's just simply through gaming apps. Church, we better create avenues to talk with our kids about sex, because once they find out, once you know they find out, it's probably too late. Do we really want our children to have a sexual stronghold at the age of 10, 11, 12? Listen, if we lack due diligence, then we're being very irresponsible. If your kid is struggling to do, if you ever find out your kid is struggling sexually, do you have an environment where they can come to you without shame? Because listen, I'm telling you this, that in this area of sexual activity, when they want to come clean, you better have the arms and the eyes, the heart, everything that Jesus has. And as much as you're disappointed with them, as much as you're hurt, you can't show that. You've just got to love them, amen? Because if you shut them down, they'll never come to you again. If your spouse is struggling, have you created a shame-free environment to discuss their struggle? I mean, if you just want it to be over, then that's fine. Biblically, you can do that. But if you love your spouse, you want to salvage your marriage, then do you have an open door policy with them? Can they come and talk to you about whatever they're struggling with? We better, amen? Romans 8, 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. If you're dominated, this is what you just got to come to grips with. You just got to be real, right, with yourself. You got to be honest. If you're struggling with the sinful nature, it's because you're thinking upon the sinful nature. It's because you're taking all this junk in somewhere, somehow. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So what are you thinking on? Listen, I don't care if it's romance novels. If you do that and it gets your engine revving up here, then really you shouldn't read it, amen? What do you watch on Netflix? What you think about will determine how you act. I mean, that's just Bible, right? As a man thinks, so he is. Who do we think? Do we really think we're better than everybody else? No, I got more control. I got more. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're setting yourself up for failure. If you've not failed yet, then good. Praise God. Then make sure you don't fail then. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Sign me up for that. Amen. Because I've experienced the other one, and it's a no-end place. What we must set our minds on is the things of God. And if we need to take drastic measures, then drastic measures should be taken. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I went 8 years without seeing a movie or written a movie. Why? Because I needed to get control over my mind. You say that's pretty drastic. It is. But if you want freedom, that's what it takes. Amen? Because once you establish a habit, once you establish a thought pattern, it's very difficult to break it. You've got to be diligent. Amen? Church, it may be a sacrifice, but isn't it worth it? Isn't freedom and abundant life worth it? I mean, it's terrible if you've ever got caught in a cycle of sin. You're trapped. You feel like there's no life. You have no wind. There's no air. You're just sucking the life out of you. Why live like that? And then you're struggling to get free. You may not be able to have Netflix, Hulu, whatever you need watch, because it might be a temptation for you. So get rid of it. If your kids are struggling, get rid of it. If your spouse is struggling, get rid of it. Don't tell them to get over it. I don't have to deal with your sin. You married them. They're your children. Amen? It's a family. And if you want to do the right thing, get rid of it. You may need to downgrade to a flip phone. Whatever you need to do, succeed, right? Whatever you need to do to get a hold of your thoughts and manage your thoughts, then do it. Psalms 101:3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. What's the Bible saying? Manage what you see. Number 3, maintain healthy relationships. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you how important this is. Adults, teenagers, it don't matter. Young ladies especially. If a young man is pressuring you to do something in the name of love, run. Because he's no good for you. Okay? If he truly loves you, or if she truly loves you, you will not pressure them to do something that will hollow out their soul. Because that's what's going to happen. It's going to hollow out your soul. You're going to give something away that you wish you would have never given away at some point. You're going to find the man that you love, the woman that you love. You're going to marry them, and you're going to wish that you can give them the greatest gift of all, and you can't. And your soul is going to be a little hollow. There is healing, though, amen? He is a restorer of all things. But the best measure is not to do it, amen? Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So stay away from bad company. Replace that bad company with good company. There's power in accountability, amen? Find people who can be real with you. Find people you can talk with. Talk to them about your struggle. Find people who will give you a biblical explanation. Not Dear Abby, right? Find people that'll be around you to help you do the right thing. Find people around you that will help you to win. Look at James 5:16 in the Message Bible. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. So I don't care what stronghold you're dealing with, all right, but find someone that you can be accountable to. Find someone that you can be real with. Find someone who will give you great advice. Not something from the world, but what God's Word says. Listen, I'm grateful for everyone who attends this church on a Sunday. I am so grateful for you, and I don't want it down, but this is not my goal. This is not the goal as a pastor. My goal for you is really come on Wednesday nights, small groups, whatever, fellowship groups there. Here's why. Because you forge relationships. And listen, as good as church can be, this won't get you through. It won't. It will fall short. Here's why. You've got to connect with other believers. You must. We need each other. The body of Christ is interwoven together, amen? We need each other for accountability. We need each other for encouragement. We need each other to help each other to succeed. So when life happens, and listen, you may not be able to get a hold of me. And really, I shouldn't be the first person you have to get a hold of. Where is that close friend of yours who loves Jesus as much as you do? Get a hold of them, amen? Help you to win. Number four, magnify God's plan for your life. See, what happens is you get a message like this, and you get so focused on the stronghold, so focused on whatever it is that's dragging you down, that you lose sight of what God has promised for you. See, God has a plan for your life. I believe that with all my heart. So don't get caught up in what you can't do. Get caught up in what God wants to do in you and through you. 2 Corinthians 7:1, with promises like this to pull us on. Dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Don't get distracted from what God has promised. Satan, he's determined. He's determined to inflict as much pain and harm as possible in your life. That's his goal. Steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly. It's his promise. Focus on that. That's God's desire for your life. And what the world has to offer us in this area of sexuality, it's a lie. It promises freedom, but it ends up in bondage. It promises freedom and ends up in bondage. Listen, it only belongs in one place. It's with your spouse whom you marry, amen? Romans 8:1. If you're dealing with any, it doesn't matter. The principles are the same throughout these strongholds. You may not be dealing with a sexual stronghold, but you have something very similar. And so there are things throughout this message, throughout this series, that you're going to find very common with other strongholds. But here's what we need to resolve in our hearts. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Every person, you hear my voice. You can be free in Jesus' name. You can be free in Jesus. You can be free from strongholds. You can be free from shame. You can be free from any condemnation, any sin that you're living with, any lie that you're living with, any lie that you've believed. I believe that there is healing for those who have polluted your minds with pornography. I believe there is truth for those who are confused about identities, sexual orientation, genders. I believe there is healing from our past. I believe there's forgiveness and restoration over any situation we've ever experienced, amen? We can experience true intimacy with God through the filter of His Word rather than the lie of this world, amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.